For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is June the 13th. We're in Melachim Beis, Perek Chaf Beis, chapter 22. We now begin the reign of Yoshiyahu. So after two Rishayim, we started with Menashe, who then did Tshuva, but not a full Tshuva, then Amon, who was a terrible Rasha. We now have Yoshiyahu, who is going to be a tremendous tzaddik. We get back to a tzaddik king. Now, the previous king, Amon, only ruled for 2 years, and he was 22 when he became king, and he only ruled for 2 years. So his son is necessarily going to be very young, and he is, as the pasuk tells us, Ben Shmona Shana Yoshiyahu v'Molcho. Yoshiyahu was 8 years old when he became king. Ushloshim ve'achas shana malach b'Yerushalayim, he ruled in Yerushalayim for 31 years. V'shem imo, and the name of his mother was Yedida Bas Adaya, Yedida Bas Adaya mi Batz Kas. That's her name, from Batz Kas. Now, we had another king who became king at 7 years old before. Do you remember who became king at 7?
The baby?
Yeah, well, the one that was hidden in the...
Yeah. He was hidden by...
That's right. So that's Yehoash. Yehoash became king at 7 years old. And Yoshiyahu becomes king at 8 years old. We're going to see some similarities here between Yehoash and Yoshiyahu. Pasuk Beis, Vayas Hayasher b'nei Hashem, he did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. Vayelech b'chol derech David aviv, and he went in all the ways of David his father. V'lo sar yamin u'smol, he did not turn right or left. So Yoshiyahu, as you know, for the kings, that's the highest compliment, is that they followed the ways of David. If you follow David HaMelech's ways, then you are considered to be the top type of king. So Yoshiyahu reached that level where he's praised in that way. So now our Navi here in Malachim jumps ahead 18 years. Vahibi Shmona Esrei Shana LaMelech Yoshiyahu, and it was in the 18th year of the king Yoshiyahu, Shalach HaMelech Es Shafan Ben Atzalyahu Ben Meshulam HaSofer, the king sent Shafan Ben Atzalyahu Ben Meshulam, the scribe, Beis Hashem Lamor. He sent him to the Beis HaMikdash with the following message. Now, before we go any further in Malachim with what the message was, and more importantly, what happened after the message was delivered, in Divrei Hayamim, I'm not going to read a bunch of Divrei Hayamim right now, just fill in a couple of things so we have the story straight. In Divrei Hayamim, it also says the same thing. He became king at 8 years old. I'm in Divrei Hayamim Beis Lamed Dalet 34. He did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. He went in the ways of David. Now here, it tells us two more milestones before the 18th year of his reign. But it's building up to this point. First it says, Uvishmone Shanim Lamolcho, in the 8th year of his reign, Vuhu Odenu Nar, he was still young. So he became king at 8. So now he's 16. Hechel Lidrosh Leilokei David Aviv, he began to seek out the God of David, his father. Remember, he had been brought up by a Rasha. His father was a Rasha, and he was raised under those circumstances. So it wasn't easy for him to start to really pursue the ways of David HaMelech. So in the 8th year of his reign, he was still young, he already began to seek out the ways of David, his father. Uvishtemes Reishana, and in the 12th year of his reign, so he's 20 years old, Hechel Letaher Es Yehuda of Yerushalayim, he began to purify Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Mina Bamos, V'Asherim, V'Pesilim, V'Hamasechos. He began to clean up Yehuda and Yerushalayim from all of the Avodah Zarah that was perpetuated in the days of his father and grandfather. And it goes on to say, Vayenat Tzu Lefanav Es Mizbechos HaBa'alim, they knocked down from before him the altars of the Baal, v'hachamonim ashalamayla me'alehem gidea, and the chamonim, which were avodah zarah, that were meant to worship the sun, that were put high up. He cut them down. V'asherim v'apesilim v'amasechos shibar v'hidak, and these various types of avodah zarahs, he broke them down and then made them into tiny pieces. V'yizrok al pnei hakavarim hazovchem lahem, and he threw them on top of the graves of those who worshipped them. It was a way of degrading both those who worshipped and also the avodah zarah itself. Now, this is all when he's 20 years old. So, unlike Chizkiyahu, who turned things around from his Rasha father Achaz, he turned things around right away, suddenly, in the first year of his reign, that we learned that before, and how it was a sudden, a 180, all of a sudden, Chizkiyahu was just doing everything right. It didn't work that way for Yoshio because he became king at 8 years old. He didn't know any different, and it took him some time. But once he started the process, he eventually turns everything around. So at 8 years into his reign, he's 16, he begins to realize things have to be done differently. And then 4 years later, he begins the process of purifying the land, getting rid of all the avodah zarah, getting rid of everything that exists that's not right. Now, in what we learned in Malachim is what happens in the 18th year of his reign, which is 6 years later. So it's that what we're about to learn in Malachim is the culmination of this tahara process that starts in the 12th year of his reign, when he's 20 years old. And then in the 18th year of his reign, when he's 26, then we're about to have what we're going to have in Malachim, which is also reported in Divrei Yamim, but I'll read it in Malachim, and we'll see it's a watershed year for him and for Klal Yisrael when in the 18th year of his reign. But the process had begun 6 years earlier with him trying to purify the land. Now, the Gemara tells us, I'm going to read a little further in Divrayim, just a few more psukim, because I want to point out to you something the Gemara says. It says here, Amin Nel Pasuk Hey in Divrayim, Va'atzmos Kohanim, the bones of the Kohanim, that means those priests who were involved in the Avodah Zarah, Saraf Al Mizbechosam, he burned those bones on those altars, Va'yetaheres Yehuda Beis Yerushalayim, and he purified Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Uve'orei Menashe ve'Ephraim v'Shimon ve'ad Naphtali, and in the cities of Menashe and Ephraim and Shimon and Naphtali, be'har. It's hard to read this. Be'har vosehem saviv. In their, the literal translation is in their destroyed areas around. He also went up into the northern kingdom. Now, the northern kingdom no longer had Jews living there. So Rashi explains there were a remnant of Jews here and there. And they were not living in big cities. They were living in small hamlets, generally high up on mountains for protection, for safety. Because, as you know, Sancheriv had brought in non-Jews who were not friendly to the Jewish people to the northern kingdom. So there were some Jews around. And he went up there also, and vayinatetz es hamizbechos, and he knocked down those altars, es hasherim vapsilim, and the various avodah zarahs, kitas lehedak, he cut them down to small pieces, v'chol hachamonim gida, and all of the sun-worshipping avodah zarahs, he cut down, v'chol eretz Yisrael, and all of eretz Yisrael, v'yashav Yerushalayim, and returned to Yerushalayim. So he is not only involved in the southern kingdom, he's also involved in the northern kingdom. The Gemara tells us that in the days of Yoshiyahu, a very special thing happened. And that is going to happen now in this 18th year. The Navi is not going to tell us about this. This is the Gemara filling it in. But the Gemara tells us, we know that in Sefer Yirmiyahu, then the Yirmiyahu comes on the scene during the reign of Yoshiyahu. So we had been dealing with, in the time of Chizkiyahu, we had Yeshayahu, who was killed by Menashe. And then we also mentioned Nachum and Habakkuk. We talked about them, that we briefly mentioned them. the main Navi in the time of Yoshiyahu, and he lives through the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, is Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu comes on the scene at this time. There's another leader of the Bnei Yisrael who we are going to learn about in Sefer Melachim very shortly. That we'll get to tonight. But Yirmiyahu is on the scene. Yirmiyahu goes in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu, and he brings back remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim of the 10 tribes. Yoshiyahu becomes the first king since Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, who started his reign ruling over all of Klal Yisrael, all 12 tribes, before Yeravam rebelled and separated 10 tribes out. Yoshiyahu becomes the first king since then, hundreds of years later, he's the first king to rule over all 12 tribes. Now, most of the 10 tribes Yirmiyahu was unable to bring back. So it's not like there was it's not like a full Klal Yisrael, but there was representation of all of the Aseres HaShvatim. This is very significant because even though Shemitah is kept whenever Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, so we keep Shemitah. Right now we keep Shemitah. Shemitah is kept. Yovel is not kept unless the Jews are all living in Eretz Yisrael. There is a debate. What does it mean they're all living in Eretz Yisrael? What does all mean? It means every single Jew? So that's a debate. But the mainstream opinion seems to be that all 12 tribes reside in Eretz Yisrael. There have to be all 12 tribes, which means that as soon as the tribes of Reuven and Gad, which were the first of the 10 tribes to be taken into Galus, as soon as they were taken into Galus, Yovel was no longer in effect. And that's why there's no Yovel today. There was no Yovel during the second Beis HaMikdash, because it was only the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin and Levi. It wasn't all the Jewish people. Here, because Yirmiyahu brings back significant representations of each of the Shvatim, the Jews restart the Yovel count. Now, unfortunately, they never get to Yovel because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed before 50 years are over. From when Yirmiyahu brings them, from this point on, from the 18th year of Yoshiyahu's reign, we don't have 50 years until the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So they never get to Yovel. But the Yovel count restarts. This is important because we're going to see later on, both in Malachim, we had it, you'll recall, it's not that long ago, in Yechezkel, all the way in the beginning, it's about 11 years ago, right? But we find that the Navi makes reference to what year of Yovel it is. How can you make reference to Yovel? They can't keep Yovel. The answer is they are keeping Yovel because Yirmiyahu brought back remnants of the 10 tribes. So there is, from this point on, this 18th year of Yoshiyahu's reign, we're going to see with the Navi reports in Malachim, but what is not mentioned explicitly in the Navi, which is mentioned in the Gemara, is that they began the Yovel count again.
So when we're all together again, that's when Yovel count will begin again?
That's right. That's an important. Now, I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know what it means to be together. It means I don't know how many people from each tribe do you need. That's unclear to me. I don't know. I also don't know, do you start Yovel immediately or do you wait until the first Shemitah to come and then stuff? I don't know how that works. But yes, that Yovel will be back in effect once the Jews are back in Eretz Yisrael in the right way. Yeah. Okay. Now, what happens in this 18th year? So, back in Malachim, so, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. So, Yoshiyahu sent a message to the Beis HaMikdash with Shaphan. Shaphan is the sofer, is the scribe of Yoshiyahu. So he says as follows, Alei el Chilkiyahu HaKoyin HaGadol. Go up to Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol. V'yatem es HaKesef HaMuva Beis HaShem. And he should melt down the silver that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Asfu Shomrei HaSaf Me'es HaAm. That those who are in charge of the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash that they gathered from the nation. And what should they do with that silver? V'itnuhu al yad osei hamalacha. They should give it to those who are doing the work, hamufkadim beis Hashem, that are appointed over in the beis hamikdash. V'itnu osei osei hamalacha, asher beis Hashem, they should in turn give it to those who are doing work in the house of Hashem, l'chazek esperek habayis, to strengthen the weaknesses of the beis hamikdash. This is the similarity I was referring to back in the reign of Yehoash. He did the same thing.
I thought it sounded familiar.
Right. The psukim are almost identical here as there. That he made sure that the money, he also spoke to the Kohen Gadol. At that time, the Kohen Gadol was Yahuyah, the Kohen Gadol. And he had him give money to the workers who are going to fix up the weaknesses of the Beis HaMikdash. So over there, they did a renovation project. And now, Yoshio does another renovation project. Now, Yoshio, it's sorely needed because there's been neglect in the Beis HaMikdash because of all the wicked kings that had been there before. So it's in dire need of renovation. So the money, he commands the Kohen Gadol, Hilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol, to give money to those who are in charge, who will then give that money to the workers. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Lecharashim, to the carpenters, V'labonim, and to the builders, V'lagodrim, a goder is one who builds a wall, V'liknos eitzim, and to buy wood, V'avne machtsev, and hewn stones, L'chazekes habayis, to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. Ach lo yeichashev itam ha-kesef ha-nitan al-yadam. This is a throwback to the days of Yehoash as well, that the Pasuk says that they will not calculate with them the money that is given to them. In other words, they don't have to have checks and balances over the money. Ki ve'emunahim osim, because they were working faithfully, the money was used 100% correctly, there was no need for an accounting. Vayomer chilkiyo ha-koin ha-gadol al-shafan ha-sofer. Now here is the watershed event. Chilkiyo, the Kohen Gadol, tells Shafan the Sofer, Sefer HaTorah Matsasi Beveis Hashem. I found a Sefer Torah in the house of Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayitein Chilkiyo es HaSefer El Shafan. So Chilkiyo gave the Sefer Torah to Shafan, Vayikra'ehu, and he read it. So what does it mean they found the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara tells us that in the days of those wicked kings that had preceded Yoshiyahu, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara tells us that they burned Sifrei Torah. When they were burning Sifrei Torah, the Kohanim hid a Sefer Torah. Now, which Sefer Torah did they hide? It doesn't tell us which Sefer Torah. It could very well be that this is the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Beis HaMikdash, a special Sefer Torah. Whatever it is, they hid a Sefer Torah. In the process, and people forgot about it. Nobody knew it was there. In the process of the renovation of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sefer Torah was discovered. So let's emphasize that. Had Yoshiyahu not done renovations of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sefer Torah would not have been found. But now that he did renovations, which is a good thing, the Sefer Torah was found. Which means the finding of the Sefer Torah is a good thing. So what happens when they find the Sefer Torah? So the Shafan, being a faithful servant, brings it back to the king. Vayavo Shafan ha-sofer el ha-melech. So Shafan comes back to the king, Vayashev es hamelech davar, and he responded to the king what the king had asked him about melting down the silver. Vayomer, he said, first he reports about his mission. Hitichu avadecha es hakesef hanimtza b'bayis. Your servants have melted down the silver that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayitnuhu al yad osei hamelacha, and they gave it to the hands of those who are doing the work. Hamufkadim beis Hashem, that are appointed in the house of Hashem. Then, Vayagid Shafan HaSofer LaMelech Lemar. Shafan HaSofer told the king, saying, Sefer Nosan Li Chilkiyah HaKohen. Chilkiyah the Kohen gave me a Sefer Torah. So he says, we now have a Sefer Torah here as well. Vayikra'ehu Shafan Lifnei HaMelech. And Shafan read it in front of the king. Vayihi kishmoa hamelech es divrei sefer haTorah. And it was when the king heard the words of the sefer Torah, vayikra es bigadav, and he tore his clothing. Why did he tear his clothing? So he tore his clothing because the sefer Torah was open to a specific place. And what pasuk did they read in the Sefer Torah? And in that Sefer Torah, the pasuk they read is from Parshas Kisavo.
Tochacha.
Tochacha. Very good. Very good. And, but worse, the Tochacha is full of psukim that you don't want to read. But the pasuk that it was open to was Perek Chavches, chapter 28 in Devarim, Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36, which reads as follows. Yolech Hashem Oscha, Hashem will take you away. Ves Malkecha Shetakim Alecha, and your king that you will appoint over you. El Goya Shelo Yadato Atav Avosecha, to a nation that you did not know, neither you nor your ancestors. Ve'avarat Hashem Elohim Acherim Eitz Vav, and you will serve there those who serve other gods, stone, wood and stone. So when Yoshiyahu heard that pasuk, he tore his clothing, because that's the pasuk of Golus. And he understood that this Sefer Torah was a simen, was a sign that there was an imminent Golus. Had he not found the Sefer Torah, had he not ordered the renovation, then it would have happened anyway. But he wouldn't have known about it in advance, which means he couldn't do anything about it. Now that he knows about it, he's able to do something about it. The first thing he does is he tears his clothes. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayitzav HaMelech es Chilkiah HaKohen. So the king commands Chilkiah the Kohen, that's the Kohen Gadol, ves Achikam ben Shafan, and also Achikam the son of Shafan, Ves Achbor ben Michaya, and Achbor ben Michaya, Ves Shafan HaSofer, and also Shafan the Sofer, Ves Asaya Evan HaMelech Lemar, and Asaya the servant of the king sang. So five people, he sends a delegation of five tzaddikim, important people. And what does he tell them to do? Luchu Dirshu Es Hashem, go seek out Hashem, Ba'adi on my behalf, Uva'ad Ha'am, and on behalf of the nation, Uva'ad Kol Yehuda, and on behalf of all of Yehuda, al divrei hasefer hanimsa hazeh, on the words of this sefer that was found, ki gedola chamas Hashem, because the anger of Hashem is great, asher hinitza savanu, that it is burning against us, ala shaloshamu avosenu, al divrei hasefer hazeh, because our ancestors did not listen to the words of this sefer, lasos kachol akasuv aleinu, to do all that is written about us. So go seek out Hashem. Now go seek out Hashem usually means go talk to a Navi. So naturally they should go to Yirmiyahu, who is the Gadol Hador. Vayelech Chilkiyahu HaKohen, Vachikam, Vachbar, Vishafan, Vasaya. They all went El Chulda HaNeviyah. They didn't go to Yirmiyahu. They went to Chulda the Neviyah. Eshes Shalom ben Tikva, she was the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, ben Charchas, who was the son of Charchas, Shomera Begadim, he was in charge of the clothing of the Kohanim, v'hi Osheves b'Yerushalayim ba Mishneh, she was sitting in Yerushalayim, she was dwelling in Yerushalayim in the Mishneh. The Mishneh is an area near the Beis HaMikdash. One of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash was designated for her. In fact, there is a gate near that chamber, which is called the Shar Chulda, her gate. Vayidabru Eleha, and they spoke to her. So they don't go to Yirmiyahu, they go to Chulda. The Gemara asks the question, why go to Chulda? Now, who is Chulda? Chulda is one of, you know that the Gemara tells us that there were several million Nevi'im from the time during the age of Nevuah. The age of Nevuah spans approximately 1,000 years. And during that time, there were well over a million, perhaps 2 million Nevi'im. Maybe even more than that. the Nevi'im were male, they were female, there were tons of Nevi'im. However, we only have 55 Nevi'im mentioned in Tanakh. 48 men and 7 women. Those are the only ones mentioned by name in Tanakh as being Nevi'im. And the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, most nevuas were not nitzrichu ledoros, were not needed for future generations. They were needed for that particular time. These 55 had nevua that was hutzrichu ledoros, which was needed for us today, for all generations. And those are the ones recorded. Chulda is one of the 7 nevios. So Esther is, of course, one of them. And Sarah Imenu is one of them. There are various women that are mentioned as being nevios, and Chulda is one of the 7 nevios, perhaps the least known of the 7 nevios. So why did they go to Chulda? So the Gemara gives 2 answers. One answer is Yirmiyahu wasn't home. He had gone to bring back the 10 Shvatim. So they couldn't go to Yirmiyahu. So they went to Chulda. That's one answer. But the Gemara has another answer. And before I give you this other answer, the Gemara also asks the question, since Yirmiyahu was the Gadol Hadar, wouldn't Chulda have told them to go to Yirmiyahu out of Derech Eretz? In other words, not to step in front of the Gadol Hadar, you would have expected her to send them to him. So if he wasn't home, he wasn't home. But if he was home, why not? So the Gemara tells us Chulda was a relative of Yirmiyahu. And therefore, they had a different type of relationship. They didn't have the kind of relationship that was necessary for Chulda to send them to Yirmiyahu. They had a family relationship between Chulda and Yirmiyahu. Who is Chulda a descendant of? Now, Yirmiyahu is a Kohen. Chulda, she might have been from a family of Kohanim. It's possible. Her husband was in charge of the clothing of the Kohanim. So it seems she was certainly involved with the Kohanim. She had a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. So evidently, she was involved with the Beis HaMikdash. So she may have been from a family of Kohanim. But she is a descendant of Yehoshua and Rachav. Yehoshua, the disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, who married Rachav. Rachav was the woman who took care of the 2 spies that Yehoshua sent. She was Megayeres. She became a Jew and married Yehoshua. And Yehoshua did not have any boys. He only had girls. Yehoshua is from Ephraim. But of course, as you know, the tribes follow the father. The whether a person is Jewish or not follows the mother, but which Shevet you are from follows your father. That's why Kohanim are sons of Kohanim. Kohanim are come from their fathers who are Kohanim, not from their mothers who are Kohanim. Because for which Shevet you're from follows your father, not your mother. So Yehoshua, who was from Ephraim, he married Rachav and had daughters. Those daughters married whoever they married. So you're not going to be able to trace Yehoshua's children through the line of the tribe of Ephraim because he had daughters. It depended who they married. So Chulda, though, is a descendant of Yehoshua and Rachav, which means, since the Gemara draws our attention to that, that whatever we're going to find with Chulda we're going to be informed about Chulda if we understand about Yehoshua and Rachav. So, again, why would they go to Chulda? So the Gemara answers, and for this we're going to have to go back to something we spoke about in Yechezkel. I guess review is always important. Because it's the way of women to have more rachmanis, to have more mercy than men. In other words, they were hoping for a softer nevuah from Huldah than they would get from Yirmiyahu. It's going to mom instead of dad.
Right, but isn't nevuah nevuah?
Isn't nevuah nevuah? So why does it matter who you go to? Nevuah is nevuah. So we explained in the when we first learned Yechezkel that the Ramchal, that Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato and Derech Hashem explains that what's the difference between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of everybody else? So he explains as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu is told exactly the words to say when he gets a nevuah. All other Nevi'im are also told exactly the words to say when they get a nevuah. That's the same. However, when Hashem gives Moshe Rabbeinu his nevuah, had the Torah been given through someone other than Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say it wouldn't have been Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us, had it not been for Moshe Rabbeinu, then the runner-up to be the one through whom the Torah would be given was Ezra Sofer. That's what the Gemara tells us. I don't know how it would have worked because Ezra lived many hundreds of years later. That's a detail, but the Gemara tells us that Ezra was on the level that he could have had the Torah given through him. Had the Torah been given through Ezra rather than through Moshe Rabbeinu, it would have been the same Torah. Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Eis Hashem, wouldn't have been any different. Perhaps it would have said Vayidaber Hashem al Ezra Lamar instead of al Moshe Lamar. I don't know. But the Nevuah would not have been any different. Because the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got was 100% pure without being influenced at all by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. All other Nevi'im, even though they are given the exact words to say, but Hashem filters it through them. Which means Hashem tailors the Nevuah to the Navi, which is why you find different styles of Nevuah. If you go through Yechezkel, and you go through Yeshayahu, and you go through Yirmiyahu, you're going to find that the style is a little different. That's because the Nevuah they have is not Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Therefore, their Nevuah is deliberately filtered through them. It's not that they're choosing what to say, it's that Hashem is choosing words and phrases and also presentation that fits the Navi. Therefore, if there's going to be a scathing nevuah that's going to come through, and it's going to be given through a man or through a woman, it is likely that if it is given through a woman, it will be softer. It won't come out as tough as if it's given through a man. It doesn't change the general point that the nevuah is coming to make. That does not, like you said, a nevuah is a nevuah. And if Hashem wants to make a point, he's going to make a point. But there's a difference the way you hear it. And it will come out softer through a woman than through a man. Which, I don't know how it would have been said if Yirmiyahu would have said it. This is my own suspicion. Now I'm just telling you what I think. I suspect what that means is, it's not a question of, will the threat be any less? But rather, will the people hearing it be able to deal with it better? It's easier sometimes to deal with a very threatening statement when it is said more softly. And so therefore, they sought out Huldah rather than Yirmiyahu in order to get the softer presentation, which Yoshiyahu felt would be better under these circumstances. Now, sometimes it is better to get the tougher presentation. Sometimes you need a wake-up call. And sometimes that's what a person needs. They got to hear the tough words. But Yoshiyahu evidently felt that was not necessary, and the softer approach would be the better way to get people to turn themselves around. So they go to Huldah, and she says the following. Tesvav 15. Vatomer aleihem, she said to them, Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Imru la'ish asher shalach eschem eloi, say to the man, to Yoshiyahu, who sent you to me. Kamar Hashem, so says Hashem. Hinni may be ra el amakom azeh val yoshvav. Behold, I am bringing evil on this place and on those who dwell here. Eis kol divrei ha-sefer, asher kara melech Yehuda, all the words of the sefer that were read by the king of Yehuda. Tachas asher azavuni, because they forsook me. Vayekatru le'lohim acherim, and they brought sacrifices to other gods. Laman hach iseni, in order to anger me. B'choma asiyadeim, and all the works of their hands. V'nitzesa chamasi b'makom azeh, and my anger will burn in this place. For lo sichben, it will not be extinguished. So that's pretty bad. But then she adds, Ve'el melech Yehuda, hashaleach eschem lidrosh es Hashem, and to the king of Yehuda, who sent you to seek out Hashem, ko somrei love, so you should say to him. Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hadvarim asher shamata, the words that you heard, yan rach levavcha, because your heart was soft, vatikana mipnei Hashem, and you humbled yourself before Hashem, b'shamacha asher dibarti ala makom hazev al yoshvav, when you heard what I said about this place and about its those who dwell here, liyos lishamav liklala, that they will be destroyed and cursed, vatikras bigadech, and you tore your clothes, vativke lefanai, and you cried in front of me, v'gam anochi shamati num Hashem, I have also listened, so says Hashem. Lachain, therefore, hinani osifcha el ala vosecha, I will gather you to your fathers, meaning when you die, v'nesafta el kivrosecha b'shalom, and you will be gathered to your graves, really to their graves, the graves of your family, in other words, in peace, v'lo sirena einecha, b'chol hara'a asher ani mevi ala makom hazeh, your eyes will not see all the evil that I'm going to bring on this place, v'yashivu es hamelech davar, and they told this to the king. So,
that's supposed to comfort the king?
The fact is that it means it's not happening as quickly as you think. It's going to get delayed, because you're going to live out your years. And really, from this point until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, it is 36 years. 36 years till the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We talked about this before, that Chizkiyahu also was pleased that the evil did not come in his day. Because the more you kick the can down the road, the more chances there are of changing things, of softening things. So if it would be imminent, there'd be very little they could do. But Yoshiyahu is now told, nothing's going to happen while you're alive. That means every moment that Yoshiyahu is breathing, he can work to prevent the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. This becomes the singular focus of Yoshiyahu for the rest of his life. From here on in, which is the next parak, Yoshiyahu is going to be known as the king who personifies being a Baal Teshuvah. Yoshiyahu is known, the Navi is going to say it, as we'll see later, that there is nobody who returned to Hashem like Yoshiyahu. Says the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, don't make a mistake and think that the implication is he was a sinner and then he did tshuva, because that's what it sounds like. If he returned to Hashem, then he must have sinned. Says the Gemara, that is not so. He was not a sinner. But what it means is he dedicated himself singularly to bringing everybody back to Hashem. And Yoshiyahu does an incredible job, as we will see, moving forward, in turning the country around even more. The process that he began 6 years earlier to really root out all of the Avodah Zarah and destroy it has reached a point where Hashem then says, I'm going to give him the motivation he needs to do not just a good job, not just an excellent job, but to do the greatest job that anyone could possibly do. And here we get an incredible insight into the ways that Hashem works and for ourselves. Yoshiyahu noticed 8 years into his reign, when he was 16 years old, he noticed that things were not the way they were supposed to be. And he began to seek out Hashem in earnest. When he was 20 years old, he decided it's time to clean up this mess. The mess that my father made, the mess my grandfather made, it's time to really clean it up. Because even my grandfather, who did tshuva, but he didn't do a full tshuva. And there was still a lot of Avodah Zarah going on, and bamos, and things like that. And that's just festered. Says Yoshiyahu, the buck stops with me. It's time to clean it up. And he works over the next 6 years to clean up not just the southern kingdom, but the northern kingdom as well. And he's really working at it. By doing that, Hashem has several things happen. His actions trigger two really watershed events. One, Yirmiyahu brings back remnants of the 10 tribes and the Yovel count begins again. That event seems to indicate longevity in Eretz Yisrael, and at the same time the Sefer Torah is discovered that says you're going to go into Galus.
So why?
Two conflicting messages at the same time.
So you have a choice, you go this way or that way.
Okay.
But they're going the right way, so why?
That doesn't mean you're, just because you start, doesn't mean you're full-fledged doing the most you can.
So we're going to see later, it's going to be pointed out in the Navi himself, that so much evil had been perpetuated in the past almost 60 years, because remember, Menashe ruled for 55 years. So much evil had been done, it was going to take a huge amount of effort to undo it. And Yoshiyahu is going to roll up his sleeves and work his head off to undo all of that evil. And the two messages are there. Start the Yovel. We don't work with a short timetable. We don't say, well, you know, we're only here for a couple of years. We don't work that way. We roll up our sleeves and get to work. We don't say, yeah, well, you know, it's going downhill anyway. It's not going to be a matter. We do whatever we can do. And you do it fully. You do it thinking there's going to be a new Yovel. Just keep it going. But there's a new Vu out there that's going to be destroyed. Maybe it will. That's not our problem. Right now, we're working on the next Yovel. That's our aim. And the Sefer Torah is, finding that Sefer Torah is the simen that things are very dangerous. There's a lot of work to get done. Both were motivators. Hashem brought two motivators to him at the same time. And both things lit a fire under Yoshiyahu. And Yoshiyahu is going to endeavor to turn things around.
Do we know if Yoshiyahu gets married at any point?
Yeah, he does. He has children. When he dies, his son replaces him. We'll see. We're going to see later on. He has more than one wife because his sons are going to be from different wives. Most of the kings have more than one wife. Now, Yoshiyahu, it says here, he will die b'shalom, in peace. Yoshiyahu does not die a peaceful death. Yoshiyahu is going to be cut down, unfortunately. And we're going to learn about that. We say Akina on Tisha B'Av about the death of Yoshiyahu. The reason we say Akina on Tisha B'Av of the death of Yoshiyahu is because had he not been cut down, who knows if the Beis HaMikdash ever would have been destroyed. Yoshiyahu had a mission, he was driven, and he was making it happen. And despite the fact that there was a nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, he made it his mission to undo that. who knows what would have happened.
So why did Hashem say, have Huldah say, you're going to die a peaceful death if...
So what it means is, that the Mefarshim asked this question, and what it means is peaceful in the sense you're not going to see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That much you won't see. Peaceful in that regard. But Yirmiyahu says a kina for Yoshio. The kina starts off, the way the kina starts on Tishbav is Vayakonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu said a kina for Yoshiyahu. Because Yirmiyahu got it. He understood that with the death of Yoshiyahu, that spells the death knell for the Jewish people. Because no one is going to do what Yoshiyahu was doing. No one is going to be able to take the reins like Yoshiyahu did. He made it his thing. He Yomam Kalala, day and night. All he did for the rest of his life was turn the country around as best as he could. And if he would have lived longer, for all we know, Mashiach would have come. And that would have been it. It could be that all disaster would have been averted. It's very possible.
But
we don't know.
I think there's a reason that we know that Hashem didn't have that happen.
So we're going to see that Yoshio is going to make a mistake.
Okay.
He's going to make a mistake. Not a terrible mistake. That's the worst part. He's not going to do it.
But as someone such a high level...
No. It's not even going to be an Avera. It's not even going to be really an Avera. We'll see. We'll see what he's going to do. It's very sad. It's a very, very sad story. The kina on Tisha B'Av, to me, is one of the saddest kinos. It really is. I don't know if I'm going to get through it when we learn. I don't know if I'll go through it without crying. It's a really sad kina, in my opinion. So we'll learn it. And the fact that we had the person who might have averted all tragedy, and then he was cut down.
But we had that with Hizkiyahu also.
Yes.
And there's
yes.
no kina for him.
There's no kina for him over there. That's true.
So why?
Could be because it was so tragic. Hizkiyahu wasn't shot down. He didn't die young.
The way he died.
Yeah. He's going to be. And you'll hear that. It's dramatic. The whole thing is.
Okay.
We'll see. It's a tearjerker. I'm just warning you in advance.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.